Amen. Thank you, choir. This is a day that we just celebrate. You know, I think of all times of year, I think my wife has also mentioned this, this is maybe the most special time of year, you know, that we celebrate Christmas, and at Christmas time we think about the birth of Christ Jesus, but this is the reason that he came. He came because of Passover. He came to die and to raise again himself again. And so today is a special day for that reason. I'd like for you all today to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a coat with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before, and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Dear Father, we thank you today for the word. We thank you, Father God, for gathering us here. Lord, as we have gathered before you, we, your people, are hungry to hear your word. We're hungry to hear, Lord, what you want us to understand from this season and from this scripture, so that we can be better Christians, so that we can be better witnesses, so that our light will shine brighter for you. Father, I ask that you bless me by your spirit to preach the word the way you gave it to me. And I pray that I decrease and that your spirit within me increase so that it is clear for everyone that hears. Bless your people. Bless those who are present here and those who are watching online. And we thank you for it. And God's people said, Amen. I'd like to preach today from the topic, Don't Let This Mule Fool You. Don't let this mule fool you. You know, as we look at this passage of scripture, the fulfillment of the prophet Zechariah is taking place here in Matthew 21. In that prophecy, it said, O Israel, your Savior, your Redeemer will come riding on a donkey, on the foal of an ass. And so they're constantly, at this time, they're looking for a leader. They're looking for someone that they know is anointed to come through the eastern gate, to come through that gate that is adjacent to the Mount of Olives to fulfill this prophecy. And they had seen Jesus. They saw heard his preaching, his teaching. They saw the miracles that he performed. But they were waiting for him to come through the gate. Can you imagine how they felt that day to know that they were waiting and finally he's coming through the gate? Finally, he is fulfilling prophecy. There are some that day that only believed in him at the time that they saw him coming through the gate, because they knew that the prophecy said that their Messiah would come through. And yet they also knew how a king looked. They knew the stature of a king. They knew the prosperity and the wealth of a king. They knew the influence of a king. And so now they're going through this whole understanding of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were telling them about the Messiah. And they are judging it against what they see as a king. And we see that Jesus comes in. He comes in riding on an ass, riding on a donkey, fulfilling prophecy. A king, the creator of all, and yet he humbled himself in order to fulfill prophecy. We got to think about the fact that there is symbolism all throughout scripture that gives us a spiritual meaning that lines up with the word of God. This number two in the Bible represents unity and union. God says that he joins man and woman, two, to make one. God says that we are the church, the Christians, we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ, and we are joined with the Savior, two, making one. And so now that tells us that because he sent two disciples, they were on a mission to find a colt and to find the ass that was joined with the colt, two things to make one. Two disciples, two animals, and yet it was one mission. It was one purpose that they came together. And so when we think about Passover, when we think about this time of year, we have to understand that it means it's a time where God is joining us to himself. But it is also a time symbolically where we should think about unity. Every time we come to Passover from now on, I would like for everyone to know that it's about unity. It's about peace. It is a symbol of unity and peace. The scripture says that they cut down branches, and when they cut down branches, that they threw them in front of Christ as he came through the Eastern Gate, the Golden Gate. The branches represent victory and peace. So now we see the pieces of the scripture coming together, saying God is introducing them to a time of unity, to a time of victory, and to a time of peace. And the same applies to us today. There are places within our lives that are disjointed. There are areas in our lives that are broken. There are areas in our lives that need repair. And Jesus is the answer for that, not just any time, but especially in this season. We are trusting in him to bring things together that are separated, and he is faithful to do that. You know, even in historically, in history and throughout history, the palm branches were routinely bound together, braided together, and they were placed on the heads of those who triumphed in battle and in competition. It's a symbol of peace. History also says that the branches were cut down in the early church and throughout the time following Acts. And people would put them on their walls, in their homes, to remind them that this is a time of victory and peace. This time that we're in is a time of victory and peace. And it's no different today. Jesus came to triumph. And yet he came through the Eastern Gate on a mule. And now when we think about the fact that the mule isn't even a full animal, it's a horse and a donkey making a mule. And yet he was willing to do what scripture announced that he should do. They said, Hosanna. Hosanna. And that word Hosanna means rescue. It means savior. So the people of that day were saying, Jesus, you come to rescue us. You are showing that you're coming through this gate and that you are savior. And today we in our hearts, Christians in our hearts, we're saying Hosanna, Hosanna during this time and throughout all the time of the year, because we know and we recognize him as savior. and as Lord. And I want you to understand that even as Jesus was coming through the gate and as he entered into the city, he came on a mission. There's one thing about Christ Jesus, nothing that he did was ever by mistake. He came because the Father sent him. He healed because he was fulfilling scripture. He forgave sins because he came to wipe sins away. He bound up those who were discouraged because he came to bring hope. And this day, he was also on a mission. Scripture says in Matthew 21, 12 through 13, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So he came to clean house. That day he came to clean house. You saw me coming in on a mule, but don't get it twisted. I came to clean house today. I came to set in order what the church should be in that day. And that is what Passover does for us. Jesus cleans house. Throughout every part of the United States today, as people are praising him and thanking him for Passover, spiritually, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is cleaning his people. He is resetting and he is recalibrating how we deal and interact with one another. The love that we show one for another, the love that we express that covers over multitudes of sin, he's cleaning house. This is a special time that we are reflecting on Passover of that day, and yet we are seeing the benefit today. Jesus came to restore vision and purpose on that day. I came to come through the eastern gate, Jesus would say, but when I come through, I've got to restore vision and purpose. Verse 14 saying, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Restoring vision. We had vision at one time. We knew what it meant to be a true child of God. We knew what it meant to be true Christians, uncompromising in our stance, uncompromising in our commitment to God. And yet somewhere along the way, we lost that. But Jesus in his day restored vision. He restored purpose. Those who were lame, he allowed them to come to him. He healed them so that now they function in their purpose. This is what Passover does for us. Passover returns to us and restores to us vision and understanding of who he is, why he came, and why we stand in his will today. He gives us restored vision and purpose. Don't get it twisted. Don't let this mule fool you, he would say. He came to perfect praise. Verse 15 says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? In this day and in this time, we have a Savior that is perfecting praise in the church. Throughout the United States today, the Spirit of the Lord dealing with his people, dealing with those who have claimed him as Lord and Savior, touches every heart, ministers to every heart, and says, lift up your heads and the King of Glory will come in. He came in the Eastern Gate so many years ago. And today, if you will lift up your heads and give him praise and worship, if you will give him perfect worship like the children that were in the temple the day that he came in the Eastern Gate, then I will perfect my praise to the Savior through you. And I will cause you to be people that the world will look at and they will hunger and thirst for righteousness. And at the point that they hunger and thirst for the righteousness of the Savior, then he will come in. So he came to perfect praise. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Today we say, Hosanna, Hosanna. meaning rescue and savior. You know, this Eastern Gate is really symbolic because Suleiman, he reconstructed the walls. And yet when he, Suleiman the Great, when he recognized and it came to his understanding that the Savior would come through the Eastern Gate, he sealed it. So the Eastern Gate on that northern side of Temple Mount is sealed. But how many of you know that Jesus is so powerful that he rent the veil when he said it is finished? And that there is nothing, there is no barrier that can keep him from fulfilling what he wants to do in our lives. And just like the Eastern Gate is sealed now, but we know that prophecy says he will return, his foot will land on the Mount of Olives and he will walk through that gate. We know that the things in us that are bound up, that are shut down, that have walls around them that we have made sometimes because of things that have happened to us, sometimes because of our own actions, but he is a Jesus that saves. He is a Savior that delivers. He is a Messiah that redeems. And so he's able to come through anything that the enemy would try to prevent. Job 13 and 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, in the A clause. That's what we say today. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm going to keep saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at me. I'm not just today, but every day I'm going to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, because I know in whom I have placed my faith and I know in whom I have believed. And I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. We see that in Luke 23:18 through 25, that Jesus still is looking for that one. He said in verse 18, the scripture says, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, and who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant and with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them of the chief priests prevailed. And so these same voices that earlier had said, Hosanna, Hosanna, days later are saying, crucify him, crucify him. But I want you to look and find something in scripture that is not often talked about, that is often overlooked, that in the midst of them saying, crucify him, crucify him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was able still to find the one that everybody had forgotten about. The Bible says that Barabbas was a murderer. The Bible says that he was on his way to execution. And yet Jesus, being so great and so amazing, he still found a way to save Barabbas from death that day. How many of us, because we find ourselves in a situation that we are paying the price that we should pay, and yet Jesus Christ, in his love and in his mercy, finds a way to give us another chance. He came to save the one, and I said this last week, he came to save the 99, but Jesus is looking always for the one. He's looking for the one that nobody wants, the one that nobody cares about, the one that everybody has forgotten. But I'm here today as a preacher of this gospel to encourage those who are thinking about him in this Passover season, to let you know that if you are the Barabbas of your community, if you are the Barabbas of your family, if you are the Barabbas of this area that you're in, that Jesus Christ is faithful and just, and he is able to find you where you are. So your heart should be encouraged now, and you should say, Hosanna, Hosanna, I think I see the Savior. I believe that this word that I'm hearing at this time of year, and I'm not usually a person that comes to church, but this day I'm coming to church and I'm hearing about a magnificent Savior who came to die on the cross for my sins. And today I believe that he is Lord, and I confess that I am a wretch undone. And if you will save me, and if you will forgive me for my sins, I will live for you for the rest of my life. And Jesus says, let him go free, because I've already died for his sins. And if I would allow a murderer, Barabbas, to go free so that I could die for his sins and the people of his day, then I will surely die for this person and free them. Amen. So we today cannot fall for mistaking what he is doing as he rides on a mule. In that day, they saw him riding on a mule. They missed a lot of what he did, but we will not miss that today. We know him as Revelations 19, 11 through 16. And it says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one else knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We know Jesus as the soon and coming King. We know him as the one that has authority and power in his hands. We saw him ride in the eastern gate, but we don't make the mistake of seeing the mule and not seeing the Savior. Today we know that he has a message for us, that we are saved for a reason. We are saved to testify and let our testimony win them over to him. We are saved to share the witness and of the gospel and of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he can do if just one person will confess him as Lord. And this day, as we all say, Hosanna, Hosanna, he is able to see that sacrifice and he is able to be pleased. And just as we nail our petitions at his cross, our Hosanna gives him glory and reminds him of why he went to the cross, why he died for us, why he rose from the dead with power in his hands. Today we say, Hosanna, Hosanna, but we don't get fooled by the mule. Lord, we thank you today for your blessings. We ask, God, that you bless every person that is under the sound of our voice. We ask, Lord, that you continue to help us to live out and to work out our soul salvation. We are so grateful to you today. We're grateful because you're faithful. And Lord, even now, as we are about to have our invitation and we are about to partake of the holy sacrament for you, Lord, we're asking that you search every heart and mind. You said, Lord, in scripture that we are to go before you and that we are to search our hearts and minds to confess any sins that we may have, so that as we partake of this remembrance of what you did for us, that we don't drink damnation to our souls. So today, with everyone under the hearing of my voice, I pray that you go to God in prayer and that you pray. And if there's any aught in your heart, that you leave it at the altar.